This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans, and welcome to a Wednesday edition of Bow Ties and Bullshit, your weekly, I guess I'm going to have to say your MoBash show. I mean, unbelievable. I can't wait to talk about a couple things today, but it's not. It is actually a fun show, really kind of having some fun. The word is fun with a guy that I will say I think has done a fine job for the St. Louis Cardinals. Do I always agree? No. I don't, but we're going to have some fun today talking about that and other things, because it sure seems like Nolan Arenado and the rumor will not go away. So we're going to talk about it as educatedly as we can. And we will do that coming to you from the Patio Studios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. Pre or post game, Patios is the place to meet. And of course, special thanks as always goes out to my good friend Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com. He's the name you know and trust when it comes to residential, commercial, or industrial work. Make sure you give him a call. They've got that first responder and military discount that takes care of those people that they think so highly of. We should all do so as well. But 15% discount for you out there if you have the proper identification, first responder or military. Construction, heating and cooling, electric, doesn't matter. Randy Green, 35 years experience, second generation craftsman, a man of his word, folks. Tremendous people, his wonderful daughter Stephanie as well, carrying it on. And I'm telling you, give him an opportunity, you won't be sorry. Got a couple reply tweets on a fun poll I did yesterday. And when you get one of these, it's evident that they don't. That this one person doesn't listen to the show, because we did a whole show on MoSpeak, and we did it for fun, F-U-N, fun, okay? So I'm going to address a couple of those, but more importantly, like I said, we're going to talk about Nolan Arenado. If we're going to trade for Nolan Arenado, which, you know, I'm not going to say I think we will or won't. I'll give you the old, it's 50-50. How about that? I feel like a weatherman. But if we're going to do that, it's going to require prospects, and who better to talk about what it might cost and what it would look like if we got rid of some of these prospects, how it affects us for the long term and the short term. Who better to talk to about that than our good friend from, I mean, Prospects After Dark, Birds on the Black, from the city of St. Louis. I mean, whatever you need, the shirtless wonder, Kyle Reese. What's going on, bud?
Jim, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I got attacked on Twitter. For putting up a MoSpeak poll. I mean, you know, I got one guy telling me we're too negative, so he's not going to listen, that he's an avid listener, but we're too negative. So I guess we're not supposed to do a show about an inactive offseason. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but we've done nothing. We couldn't hit last year. Our number four hitter's gone. Okay, now, I'm going to talk about that. That's an issue. It doesn't pay any never mind that I've said on here 100 times, I'm excited to see what the young guys can do. So personally, I don't care. I'm just talking about what's really going on. And then I got a gal mad at me because I put the Mo poll up. She obviously doesn't listen to the show, doesn't know that we've done a Mo speak, and thinks that, you know, that I'm talking shit on Mo. Well, number one, Mo is so much smarter than any of us. Let's get that straight right now. Okay? He's had a winning frame. I've said 100 times over, he has a job to do that we don't like. And that job is to make the Cardinals as much money as possible. And he's obviously very good at it. So, anyway, there's my piece.
Yeah. Yeah, back to you in the studio, Gene. No, I, you know, I'm not going to be the person you're going to want to talk to for optimism in regards to acquiring Nolan Arenado. But I support John Mozeliak and Mike Gersh fully. I think, to your point, that they're put into a spot. And I think that they do the best they can with the spot that they're in. And I think as Cardinal fans, we should all be lucky that we've had such success over the last 750 years, it feels like, that we've had. I have nothing bad to say about Mo, but it's just one of those times right now. Well, I've got plenty. I've got some things bad to say about Mo, but I've got nothing that's like off base or like hatred towards him, nothing like that. But I know I felt it on Twitter. I know what's going on. Joking around, you know, when Pete Kosma signed last week, I just said the Cardinals front office isn't even trying. Obviously, that doesn't help anyone in any capacity. But, you know, acquiring Pete Kosma does not help the Cardinals. But it was a joke and it was fun. And I still have people sliding in saying, are you crazy? You think that makes the Cardinals better? And no, I'm joking around. I've got nothing better to do with my time because there isn't a move to like get excited about. And that's not, again, not the bash of John Mozeliak or Michael Gersh or whatever, but let's just have some fun with it. Like, let's screw around. Let's joke around. I'm hardly ever serious, even when it sounds like I'm being serious. So
I would agree. Yeah. I think I'm the same way. And the thing is, I'm just being frank here. What else can we do? There's nothing else to talk about. We've done nothing. So I'm going to have a little fun. And yeah, I am going to address the elephant in the room. We don't have a number four hitter. Okay? Sorry. We don't. And I'm here to tell you. Okay? If you want to rail on me because I'm going to ask a question about the fact that we don't have a number four hitter because you think somebody on this team can just step up and do it, then you need to learn a little bit because it's not that easy. Okay. I mean, listen, I hope Paul DeJong is a number four hitter. I hope so. Has he done anything to tell you that he is? No, he hasn't, outside of a month. Okay. Yeah, he hits for power. Hitting for power doesn't make you a number four hitter. Okay, let's get that straight right now. All right. That's not what it's all about. Okay. That's not what it's all about. So anyway, Let's talk about Nolan Arenado. I know that you. Hang on. Let me say my piece, and then you can tell me because I don't know. No, I'll tell you what. Let's let you go first because I'm going to ask you a question. So, are you not on the Arenado? Like you have nothing to say about it because you think it's all bullshit, or because you wouldn't do it?
No, I would trade my heart and soul for Nolan Arenado. I love the guy. But I think it's total bullshit, and I don't think you need to look any further than Jeff Passan's article and the way that the article was worded. In the article, it says something to the effect of the Rockies find the Cardinals intriguing, or the Rockies are interested in the Cardinals. I don't doubt that John Mozeliak has reached out to the Rockies and tested the waters. You know, he sends feelers out constantly. I feel like we can all agree on that. I don't doubt that he's reached out to them. But, you know, the Rockies have two reasons for trading Nolan Arenado. One, to clear salary cap, and two, to get prospects. And in that article, it said Matt Carpenter and Dexter Fowler. Well, first off, sure, the Cardinals trading Matt Carpenter and Dexter Fowler would be great, but that's only $20 million for the next – and again, we're talking about – I know Arenado's contract goes beyond, and, you know, in 3 years, you're talking about $30 million for another additional 4 years, and, you know, you only have to deal with Carpenter for – this coming year and the season after, and same thing with Fowler. Like, I get that. But there are obstacles in the way of making it happen. And you don't need to look any further than Matt Carpenter's no trade clause and Dexter Fowler's no trade clause. Matt Carpenter is not going to waive his no trade clause to go to Colorado. There's not a world that happens. If they're going to trade Nolan Arenado, it's going to be because they're not going to be competitive for a little bit. And Matt Carpenter is not going to leave the only place he's lived in, the only town that he's played in, to go to a team where he isn't going to have a chance to win a championship that's further away from where his home is. And then when you look at Dexter Fowler was drafted by the Rockies, and we think, oh, that's great. But he left the Rockies on bad terms, And there's a chance that Dexter Fowler only has 2 years left in the major league. Now, Colorado's an awesome town to live in, but I doubt he weighs, and that's more speculation than anything. I feel confident in that appraisal of Matt Carpenter. But I doubt Dexter Fowler weighs his no-trade clause to go to Colorado. Maybe you can buy it out. Maybe that's your best bet to be able to move the two. But that's the issue right there. The other issue on top of that is the Cardinals have $160 million donated, like already set, 100 at the very least, for their 2020 payroll. If eventually you just – so, you know, in my line of thinking, you're not going to be able to give Matt Carpenter and Dexter Fowler. That means that you're just going to give prospects. Like, the only way that you can make it happen is to get prospects and take on that contract. And I do not foresee, and this is obviously just how I view the Cardinals, and this isn't even John Mozeliak. This is Bill DeWitt, in my opinion. I don't envision a situation in which the Cardinals get up against the $200 million yearly threshold for next year. And, you know, after 2021, a bunch of contracts come off the books and they might be able to afford, and, you know, affording Nolan Arenado would be easier. But I look at the situation on the whiteboard and I don't see how it happens without like a third party getting involved. And at the same time, like the Rockies taking on a good portion of Arenado's contract, especially for those first 2 years, if not the first 3 years. So to me, I look at Passan's article. By the way, Jeff Passan's as good as it gets. He's right there with Ken Rosenthal about talking about this stuff. But look at the wording of the contract and take what we know about the Cardinals. And nothing yesterday sounded like news to me other than the Rockies are kind of interested in what the Cardinals have. They're also interested in what the Cubs have. So take that for what that is. Obviously, the Cubs aren't going to acquire Nolan Arenado, not even for a one-flip swap for Chris Bryant, because he costs too much money. So
they don't have the prospects, do they? Am I crazy, or they don't have them?
No. They've got some guys that can make it. They've got some guys that can make it interesting if they wanted to, like, move Nico Horner and you know, their top pitching prospects here and there. But the other issue, and this is where the Cardinals would be interesting for the Rockies, is the Rockies know that they can never have enough pitching. They have some decent pitching prospects in their organization, and they, you know, obviously Andrew Kisner is a good starting piece to get the ball rolling, and they could also use some outfield, and that's what the Cardinals have abundance of. So there is like a natural like partnership there with need. The Rockies have a ton of middle infielders. They have a ton of corner infielders, which obviously the Cardinals are lacking in their system. And like the pieces kind of fit, but it's the other stuff that, you know, as fans, we don't necessarily think about, like the no trade clauses and stuff like that, like the personal aspect of it. And it just does not seem like a reasonable thing or an actual thing that's going to happen.
So that makes sense. Okay, so I see where you're coming from now. So for me, I look at it and I say, okay, how does it feel to me? Okay, I will say this. Back in a different time, when you look at the St. Louis Cardinals right now, they have a definite need. And I think Mo has said as much, right? Like, I don't know that we have that middle order of the bat. Like he said it last year before he got Paul Goldschmidt or the year before or whenever. We don't see in our organization that middle of the order guy coming up anytime soon, right? So he went out and he got Paul Goldschmidt. And I don't know what they thought of Dylan Carlson 2 years ago, but I think we know what they think of him today, right? And I think Dylan Carlson earned that respect, right? So
yeah,
that changes things. Now, secondly, though, and this is what I find interesting, when the Saint, and this is what it feels like to me, because this is the only thing I can compare it to. When the St. Louis Cardinals traded for Matt Holliday, I remember thinking to myself, it makes all the sense in the world for the Cardinals to trade Matt Holliday. The Cardinals have this piece, and I remember it. The kid from Oklahoma State, Wirt Wallace. The Cardinals have this piece. But then I remember thinking, they just got the guy, and he's this hot prospect. They're not going to trade him. And sure enough, they did, right? This feels a little bit like that to me. It's almost like the Cardinals are sitting here. They're looking around. They're going, what do we really have here? What do we really have? Okay, we've got this piece. What are we really missing? So it makes sense to me. The money thing, I think there's a lot of ways to skin that cat. I think I agree with you 100%. I have a hard time believing. See, the thing is, if you were to tell the Rockies, who have what do they have left on that contract? 250, 280, whatever it is, whatever's left on it. So people would sit there and say, and I agree with you, people would sit there and say, why in the world would they want Matt Carpenter and why would they want Dexter Fowler? The truth is they don't want either one of them. Okay. The truth is they don't want either one of those players. But what they would do, I think, if you approach the right deal, they would say, okay, we'll take that for Fowler. We'll take that $30 million to save all the others, right?
Yeah.
And, or we'll take the $40 million from Matt to save that, whatever. Now, two parts here. You brought up the most important part, and that's the no-trade clause. Why would either one of those guys go? It's real easy for me or anybody out there to sit here and go, well, and I've said this before. You approach the guy and you go, hey, we have a deal and we'd like you to go to Colorado. Well, I'm not going to Colorado. Well, then you're going to sit the bench here. Does that feel like the Cardinals to you?
No.
Something they do? I mean, no. I'm just going to throw this out there. 2 years ago, the whole fan base wanted to kill Mike Matheny for not being loyal to Dexter Fowler. And then all of a sudden, they love the Mike Shildt because he's loyal to Dexter Fowler. So now a year later, they're going to go to Dexter Fowler and say, you're on the bench, pal. Or do you want to go to Colorado? Does that feel right to you?
No. That's like, to your point, that's not going to happen. None of that's going to happen. They are loyal to their people.
Matt Carpenter's been here since day one, right?
Yeah.
You know, you go to Matt and you say, Matt, you know, you have a real conversation with Matt and say, Matt, would you like to go to Colorado? I mean, it's a hitter's park. You're a hitter, right? I don't know. Like I said, it's crazier things have happened, but it doesn't feel right now. So what's the answer there, right? What's the answer? Because I promise you, to get them to take one of those contracts, and it would only be one. I can't see them doing both. But to get them to take one, you would have had to have given them a really nice package. Because that's how that works, right? Like, I'm going to give you a better package to take by someone's money. Now, what you could do is, you could look at the Rockies and say, hey, here's the deal. I'll give you this package, but we can't get either one of these guys to go, so what you're going to have to do is give us that equivalent money.
Yeah.
Which you could do that. They could easily do that. They could easily go to them and say, I need you to send $30 million with the deal to cover those first 2 years so that we can stay where we want to stay. Right?
Yeah.
They could do that. Now, so let's assume that maybe that's realistic, because I'm agreeing with you. I doubt very much the trading of those, either one of those guys, is realistic. But to save $200-something million and to get the prospects they want, sending $30 million isn't as big a deal as you think it is. It really isn't, because they would take the player if the player would go. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
I think. I believe that. So let's talk about the players involved. Now, I find this interesting. The first name that's always going to come up is Dylan Carlson. I don't think the Cardinals are trading him.
No.
But I ask you, let's say this whole thing has worked out and Dylan Carlson's the sticking point, would you trade him?
Again, I look at the full spectrum. I would like to know who else is involved in the deal. I would be reluctant to. Now, if I'm a fan, I'd do it in a heartbeat. This is where I always get caught. Like, if I'm a fan, yeah, sure, I don't care. Just give me Nolan Arenado. Let's have some fun. If I'm in the Cardinals front office, I'm not, because you're talking about at least 3.5 or at least 4 years of, like, really cheap talent out of Dylan Carlson. No, I wouldn't. But if all it was like Dylan Carlson for Nolan Arenado, I would have trouble saying no to that. As a fan. But I think it would have to depend for me personally on what the whole piece is. I never want to commit to just one thing. I want to see the whole board, if that makes sense.
Okay. So let's get past Carlson. The name that always comes up is Nolan Gorman. Well, I heard somebody yesterday, which I thought was the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And
I love it.
Okay. Well, why would they do that? Their best two prospects is a third baseman and a second. Well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Yes,
yeah.
I know all about Colton Walker. You know, I know all about him. Okay? But to say that they wouldn't be interested in Nolan Gorman because they have Colton Walker is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And it was Randy Carricker that said it. It was stupid.
Oh, that's great.
It was stupid. Okay? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I was driving. I almost had to pull over. Okay. Number one, guys that are elite hitters that you think are going to be hitters, you don't ever go, no, I'm not interested in him because I got a third baseman in the minors already. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Number one, most reports we get, and I will defer to you, are that Nolan Gorman may never play third base.
Yeah, there's a chance. I see him staying there. And maybe not for a long period of time, but if Matt Carpenter can play third base with that arm, then Nolan Gorman's going to be able to play third base. That is a fact. It's just he's probably not going to be above average. He's probably going to do some stupid stuff here and there, but yeah, he's athletic enough. His issue is footwork. His feet get a little tangled up when he goes to throw the ball sometimes. But other than that, he's pretty athletic, and it's hard to say for a 19-year-old who's having balls hammered at him at levels that he's never seen. But there is very much a chance that he never plays third, to your point. It's just more than likely he's going to. To me, the issue with Nolan Gorman, from just an evaluation standpoint, is that he can't hit inside breaking pitches. It's the reverse of Tyler O'Neill. Like, we get so excited about that power and that pop, that doubles, his athleticism. But he strikes out 30% of the time. Like, 30% of the time at the minor league level is a bad, bad omen. He gets credit because he's doing it at leagues that are older than him, in advanced leagues that maybe he isn't ready for. So he gets credit for that. That helps balance out some of the 30% K rate numbers. But he got worse as the year went on at Peoria, went to Florida State League for Palm Beach, and did a little bit better. But the inside breaking pitch is something that he can't hit from lefties or righties. And that's all, like, until he works on that, you can't promise that he's ever going to adjust to it. You know, again, 18-year-old kid, started the year, finished the year as 19, has never seen the kind of stuff that he is seeing now. It's tough at the leagues that he was at. It's just how he's going to adjust. The way that I try to tell people about Nolan Gorman is, would you trade Tyler O'Neill right now for Nolan Arenado? And nearly everyone will say yes. Nearly everyone will say yes. Now, what if I told you that there was no guarantee that this guy could even be what we've seen out of Tyler O'Neill so far? That's the kind of situation you're in with Nolan Gorman. He could end up being Kyle Seager. He could end up being a worse version of Tyler O'Neill.
And isn't that why you trade him, if you can get a guy like Arenado? I mean, we're not talking about, I'm trying to think of an example. We're not talking about trading for an average player. We're talking about playing for one of the best players in the league.
Yeah. Yeah. A superstar. You know?
And listen, let me say this. So you could sit out there and say, well, Jim, you just said you would not include Dylan Carlson. I'm not even saying I wouldn't include Dylan, but I can understand not wanting to include Carlson because Carlson's right there on the horizon. You know, he's done enough that you feel like, and again, this is why these guys get paid all the money, right? Like, he's done enough that they feel like this is an acquisition for us. It feels like an acquisition for us. We believe he's as good as X, Y, and Z that's out there.
Uh-huh.
I mean, listen, if you watch his swing, I get the comparisons to Bellinger. You know, he's got a very athletic movement. His sequential order reminds you of Bellinger. I get all that. It looks great. Like, it does. I mean, it looks, but listen, there's been so many guys that look like that couldn't hit a lick when they get here. And I think the reality is there's lots of guys that hit the piss out of the ball in AAA and then they struggle up here. There's lots of guys that don't have what I would call the minor league numbers that make you believe they're going to be stars that come up here, i.e. Tommy Edman, and just they use what they are to become a good player. I mean, Tommy Edman's a great example of a guy that can just play baseball.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and helps you in so many ways, right? Like, just makes you more athletic. I've said it before. When Harrison Bader is swinging well, your team is so good because he also provides all these other things every day, even when he's not hitting. That's what makes you a better baseball team, is when you are more athletic, you know? I know people don't like Tim McCarver. That's fine. You cannot like him all you want. And I even get it. I actually like it, but I understand why he rubs people the wrong way. But here's the thing. He says things, if you will just give him a chance, that you don't think about, that are 100% true. He's the one that said the first time, when the Cardinals were really struggling the last couple of years, he said, you know, they've become so unathletic. They can't, and he was right. They can't even help themselves when they're struggling, get out of the struggle. And then what happens? You bring up a guy like Tommy Edman, who, let's face it, he helps you in so many ways that Matt Carpenter cannot. I understand that Matt Carpenter, when he's hitting, is a really good hitter, okay? But Tommy Edman does so many things every other day. Same thing with Harrison Bader. If Harrison Bader hits well enough to stay in the lineup, he does so many things that can help you. The problem is there's a threshold to where you've got to, I mean, you can't hit 200.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you can't hit 200 and your on-base percentage not be 350. How about that? Okay?
Yeah.
So,
get on base 28%
right.
of the time.
So I guess, you know, there's a lot of pieces to pick apart here, but you trade Nolan Gorman for this guy every day and twice on Sunday. And yes, the Colorado Rockies would have interest in Nolan Gorman. Now, that's not enough. So let's move on. An interesting name for me, I think Kisner is an interesting name, right? Like,
yeah.
Why not? You have, that brings me to you and your expertise. Tell us a little bit, like, we're hearing another name, almost like when Kisner was the name behind Kelly, we can trade Kelly because of Kisner. Now people are going, well, we can trade Kisner because of?
Of Ivan Herrera.
Okay.
Yeah, the Cardinals, Ivan Herrera looks like he has a chance to be a bit of a, not a star, but like a legit prospect. And then they have another kid named Julio Rodriguez, who's a little older than Herrera, who plays a really, really great defensive catching position. Who also looks like he has some type of major league future. It might be as a backup. It might be as just a taste of the majors. But they have options behind Kisner.
Well, it's okay. So let's say, so where are we at right now? So we're at Gorman, Kisner, Helsley?
Yeah, so that's where it gets difficult. And again, to your point, they would be interested in Gorman. But the one area where they have, like, a surplus is infielders and, like, high-end third-base infielders, too. I still think that they would take Gorman because, obviously. And the beautiful thing about including Nolan Gorman, because of his capabilities, because of how he's viewed, throughout organizations, is that it probably dumbs down the actual asking price for Arenado if you include him. Like, you know, I would suspect that Ryan Helsley would be the hot name there. I would suspect that Genesis Cabrera and Ryan Helsley get that deal done. Both of them. It just depends. Like, my assumption would be that the Rockies would go hard after pitching. You know, I would say you'd start with Andrew Kisner. And again, I'm one of these people who, for 2 years now, have always put Andrew Kisner ahead of Nolan Gorman on their like prospect rankings. I'm the one guy who does it. It's because I worry about the strikeouts and Gorman's ability to hit. I think that Kisner ends up staying catcher and like for a while. But anyways, what I'm getting at is I think Kisner in pitching is where you go to get this deal done. Maybe Lane Thomas or maybe one of the outfielders, like we talked a couple of weeks back. Maybe it's you go to the Rockies, you let them pick whichever outfield they want, whether it's a Rosarena or O'Neill or Bader or Thomas. And then you go to the pitching, and that's where I think, like, you know, on the table you would have to have Genesis Cabrera, Ryan Helsley, Daniel Ponce de Leon, Jake Woodford, Johan Oviedo, Angel Rondon, some prospect names in there. I think that's where it starts, and that's the prospect package that gets it done. If I'm the Rockies and I'm in their situation with their system being the way it is and knowing that pitching is the only chance that I have of ever making the playoffs again, and knowing that I'm not going to get pitchers to sign there unless they're trying to prove stuff on like a one-year deal, I'm going hard after pitching within the organization that I'm trying to trade Arenado to.
Is that okay? So is that specifically because, obviously, I mean, listen, you can't deny the fact that it's hard for them to find a pitcher that can have success in Coors Field. You can't deny it, right?
Yeah.
So it's almost like let's throw as many things against the wall and let's hope that one finally is good, right? So
well, yeah, maybe, and also trying to get like the high end, you know, like you're not, it's not going to be like, you know, Gomber and then some low end
sure,
contract
sure.
and then some guy exactly
right. Okay, and then so let me ask you this question: is it the type of pitcher in Coors Field? Like, for instance, does a flamethrower with a good breaking pitch versus a guy that remember the Daryl Kyle days, right?
Yeah.
Does it Is that type of guy is never going to have success in Coors Field versus a guy like a Helsley who has that 100 mile an hour with that nice pitch, that secondary pitch. Yeah. Is that the kind of guy they would target, right? So does that play into it as well?
Yeah, the rumor is that they're specifically looking for high velocity pitchers. A couple years back they tried that, you know, the sinker ball pitcher, the Dakota Hudson type, and the ball just doesn't break in Colorado the way they need it to. And what ends up happening is a lot of the breaking pitches end up flattening out and get hit a very long way. So they'd be looking for high-end velocity, and that's where guys like Ryan Helsley and Genesis Cabrera and Johan Oviedo in particular kind of like fit in this like trade diagram.
Okay, so let's see where we're at today. We are okay, so let's put the trade together. I know that you don't think it's going to happen, but let's put the trade together as you see it, that it would take to get it done. Who's the top? Let's go top to bottom. Number one person in the trade would be?
For me, it'd be Ryan Helsley.
Okay, so Ryan Helsley's in the trade. Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to write these down. How about that?
Let's do it.
That way, if it happens, we can go back and say, here we go. So to you, Ryan Helsley is number one, second player in the trade.
Andrew Kisner.
Okay. Third player in the trade.
Genesis Cabrera.
Really?
Yeah.
For sure. Cabrera. Okay. Fourth player in the trade.
And I'll say Johan Oviedo.
So you don't think Gorman goes?
No. Again, if I'm – again, I try to flip things here. And when I look at it, I say if I'm the Rockies, I've got Ryan McMahon. I mean, they literally have like – layers of third base and middle infield options. Like layers. Like we have outfielders, the Cardinals have outfielders. They have layers of like that. They're so rich there. That's where all their depth is. Like the way that the Cardinals draft pitching and outfield and acquire pitching and outfield, that's what the Rockies do with third basemen. They have a lot of those. They will go after pitching. And if they don't go after pitching, and that is a very, very poorly run organization.
So, I think where I was going with this, though, was give me that last name again. Who was the last pitcher?
Johan Oviedo.
Oviedo. Okay. What I meant was where I was going at. Hang on. Spell check's not letting me punt that in. Okay.
It's Oviedo.
Wait a minute. What is it?
Oviedo.
V-O.
Yeah, D.
Oviedo.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. All right, I had it with a T. Okay. So I guess what I meant was, so what you're saying is they got to take their pick. The Cardinals aren't going to go, well, yeah, you can have all this pitching and Gorman. If you take Gorman, we're not giving you all this pitching. Is that kind of how you feel?
My thought, honestly, is simply that if I'm the Rockies, I'm getting the Major League ready catcher and loading up on pitching if I'm moving at Nolan Arenado.
Okay. I like it. I like it. Okay. So I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to ask you this because let's do a Craig Mish.
Yeah.
Chances. What's the percentage of Arenado becoming a Cardinal?
15%.
15. Oh, geez, that's good.
And you know, but I want to also say that, like, I'm trying to be as realistic as it is possible. And that goes to show you that if John Mozeliak and Michael Gersh and Mr. DeWitt can put this together, then like they should be commended, because if they can get it done without having one of those guys waive their no trade clauses, or if they can get it done with one of the guys, you know, waiving their no trade.
Oh yeah, I mean,
if they can get it done, then it's a great move. They should. I mean, even if they're giving up, you know, again, shy of like Carlson, Gorman, Kisner, like their top five, you know, Helsley and Cabrera all at once, like that could be a little like head scratcher and not getting money back.
Sure.
But if they can make it work, they deserve tremendous amounts of accolades. Like, this isn't trading for Marcell Ozuna. This is trading for a legitimate superstar whose worst year will be like what Marcell Ozuna puts up in an average season.
I agree. Yeah. For sure. So let me ask you, do you got time to stay on? Can you stay on a little bit longer?
Just like a little bit of time.
Okay. So I want to say this. if they can pull this trade off, I don't care what the deal is. It doesn't matter to me, really. But I can debate all day long whether I think this guy's worth it or not worth it or whatever. It doesn't matter to me. If Nolan Arenado's wearing a Cardinal uniform, both because of the situation being what it is, the money, the years committed, all this kind of stuff, I don't believe, like, I'd be shocked the way things have been going if this guy would opt out after 2 years. I'd be shocked.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know, just like I said, Stanton's never opting out of his deal. I can promise you that. And he ain't, you know. So, anyway, yeah. So same thing. It would be a win, and it would be a just very, very positive thing. Because everybody involved in this would have had to have done something really awesome. You know, The ownership group, Mozeliak, Gersh, everybody that's involved. It would be a quality move. But I will say, and again, I find myself coming back to feeling, just the feeling. Nothing to, it feels like when they got Holiday to me. I want to hit some Patterson Tire and Service. We got a couple cool things, people from you. So I want to go to Patterson Tire and Service text line, a whole lot more than a tire store. 618-797-6711, located at 3718 Highway 111 in Granite City, Illinois. Make sure you guys check them out. The reason we say a whole lot more than a tire store is because they also specialize in automotive repair. So, you know, if there's something wrong with that engine, if it's knocking, if you get the check engine light on, get it over there soon and let them take care of it. But, of course, it's just a quick phone call for a quote on some brakes, tires, of course, and they take care of everybody. Like no other. They've been in that community for a long time. You do that by taking care of the people around you. So if you're in that neighboring area and you haven't had a chance to give them a chance to take care of your vehicle, do it. You will not be disappointed. That's Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. 618-797-6711. Okay. I got a couple in here that were just for you.
Okay.
So, hey, Kyle, can you talk a little bit about young pitchers that you think will make an impact on the Cardinal roster this season?
I can. And if you just hold on 1 second, I'll give it to you. We'll count to two, and then I'll give it to you. Hold on 1 second.
One, two. Maybe I should have kept count. Maybe he meant three, four.
Hey, there you go.
Five, count to five. I had to take my socks off.
I'm writing down Patterson Tire and Auto, and I wanted to make sure I remembered it. Yeah. So a couple young pitchers. I mean, in my opinion, the guys that you're going to see make an impact for the Cardinals in 2020 are the guys that we already know. You know, if they don't get traded, Henesy Cabrera, Ryan Helsley. I think the outliers are Jake Woodford, who last year made a great impression at spring training with the St. Louis Cardinals. You know, he was kind of a standout. He was just added to the 40-man. He's a right-handed pitcher who probably stays in the bullpen long-term is my guess, but you know, he's got some interesting stuff. He's got a really good breaking pitch sometimes when he's not hanging it. Fastball that sits in the 92, 95. It's more of a sinker than a fastball. I think Jake Woodford's a name we see, and I think he has a really good spring training, too. And I think that that'll put him on the map, you know, a little bit again, just like he did last year. I think beyond that, it gets really interesting. Cody Whiteley is a bullpen arm. He has kind of a windmill delivery. Over the top, throws about 96, 98 miles an hour. I think he's a bullpen option who isn't on the 40-man, who will find his way to the major leagues at some point. Other than that, it becomes more of like, hey, look, we've got all of these guys who have already played in the majors that we know a little bit of, that we have on the 40-man. You know, what do we do with them? And I think that's more than likely the case. One of my favorite prospects in the Cardinals organization is a right-handed pitcher who's 21. He might have just turned 22, named Angel Rondon. And I'm excited to see Rondon in spring training. I would imagine that we're going to see a bit of him. He's got a funky little delivery, a little bit like, it's kind of a throwaway, a little bit like Carlos Martinez, but not a lot like Carlos Martinez. There are arms. The one thing the Cardinals have is arms. I don't know how many of them are high-end. I don't think they have many in the high-end range. But like those are the ones. And then we talked about Johan Oviedo a little while ago. Oviedo was a 2016 international signing. He also was like right around the 21-year-old age. International signing, can pump it up into the high 90s. He has a hard fastball, a hard slider, a hard curveball. His issue is command. He pitched really well for Palm Beach to start the year, struggled in Springfield just a little bit, but also pitched brilliantly at times. Struggled with his weight and can continued velocity in prior seasons, and he got that under control, got himself in better shape, his arm and his body. And to me, like, those are the flash names. And you know, that includes Gomber and Ponce de Leon and Helsley and Cabrera and maybe even Alex Reyes, who this will be the last time I'm willing to even talk about him. and then, you know, other options beyond that are, in my opinion, Jake Woodford is the easy one. Maybe Alvaro Tejas, because he's on the 40-man, but I still doubt that. Cody Whiteley, who is a bullpen option. There's a couple other bullpen guys like Brian Dobzhansky and Connor Jones, who are at the AAA level that might have a chance. Ronnie Williams, who was a big high school signing a couple years back that's gone through Tommy John and dealt with some arm problems. And then from the starting ranks, I say Johan Oviedo and Angel Rondon. And those are just like the first names that come off the top of my head. I'm sure there's more.
You foreshadowed the next question on our Patterson Tire and Service text line. What, if anything, does Kyle think we can get out of Reyes this season? I know I'm careful to discuss this, but it's like a drug. It has control of me, and it won't go away.
I get it.
You know, and listen, I'm going to say this. The thing for me about Reyes now is, personally, again, he almost feels like that guy that's kind of sitting back there that you expect nothing from, but make no mistake about it, he could wind up being, I hate to use this comparison because there were different circumstances. But I assure you, at some juncture, somebody like me or you or whoever said the same thing about Josh Hamilton.
Yeah.
You know, so many issues, so many problems, so many chance after chance to get it together, right? Obviously his situation was different, right? But it doesn't matter. He was a top prospect, like going to come up here, going to be the best, going to do this, and couldn't get it together, okay? And then was still sitting there, and it was like, okay, guess what? Got it together, and here we go. Boom. So so my point is, you've seen this before with other players, right? Players that they go through, and then all of a sudden they get it together, and you know, you're sitting there going, oh, my God, why couldn't we have backwards into that kind of guy or something with this guy? Who is this guy? You know, so that's my only thing is that since I don't expect anything from him now, knowing that he's sitting there, though, makes me feel like, you know what? You never know.
It's a perfect tool to have in the box. You know, the danger is if you rely on him in any capacity. He could end up being the beautiful egg in your Easter basket. Like, that's how you have to view him. I personally, you set no expectations for him. The Cardinals shouldn't have an expectation for him. Fans shouldn't have an expectation for him. His expectation should be whatever you get, your success. Like, you got lucky from it at this point. And it happens with pitchers more frequently than it happens with position players, it feels like, especially guys who transition to the bullpen from being starters. I still am immensely high on Alex Reyes. I still think that, to your point, if he's given the opportunity and he can stay healthy, I think he's going to be he still will always have the potential to be a dynamic piece to a major league roster. But I also think we need to be smart about what we're talking about. We're talking about a guy who has now had pec issues, arm, shoulder issues, and elbow issues. And last year when he was pitching out of the Cardinals bullpen, before the pec issue came back up, he wasn't effective. And again, that's coming off of a year in which he rehabbed, trying to get his arm ready to go for a season. This year's a little different. He's going through a normal offseason. But I think he can be dynamic. I think that he could end up transforming a bullpen, potentially a rotation, but more than likely at this point, I would assume it's a bullpen because of how many innings he's had on his arm in the last couple of years. I just think that the most calamitous thing that you can do as an organization is to even anticipate a return from him or some type of contribution from him. I think you pretend like he doesn't exist, and if all of a sudden he's forcing the topic, then you've won. But what I always say on prospects after dark is, let's not talk about him until we're seeing him pitch on a major league mound, you know, past March 26th or whatever.
You know, the Reyes thing will always be just something that kind of sits out there. But I will say this. This is exactly how some guys wind up being dominant bullpen arms for two or three years. This is how it happens. This is exactly how it happens. Okay. Starter, big arm, can't get it together, can't stay healthy, can't find the strike zone. He's got so much talent that it's not as simple as cut him, right? It's not that simple. And he hangs on because, you know, he was a top prospect. They have money invested in him, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden they find a role for him that he flourishes in. And it doesn't last long. It never lasts long, you know. But, man, for a couple of years you watch some guy go in the bullpen and just be electric because of what's been able to hang him on for so long. And it's an electric arm, quite frankly. Yeah. And, you know, so you wind up doing it. And again, it's littered with guys that could never do it. But, you know, I'm telling you, go look at some of the guys that have a great couple of years in a bullpen and you wonder where did they come from? Right. Go look at some of their stories. This is how it happens. You know, guy was a starter in the, you know, they're all starters in the minors, you know, I mean, you know, till they prove they can't, basically. Or they fill a need. So, you know, I can't expect anything from him. But, hey, thanks for doing that. And I know I pushed you up against your time limit. And we do want to thank Patterson Tire and Service for their sponsorship of our text line. A whole lot more in a tire store. 618-797-6711. 3718 Highway 111 in Granite City. So let me ask you this question. Were you writing them down because you're planning on going over there? Because if you are, I need to let them know what's coming, to be honest. Like,
yeah, I just got some, I'm in need of tires and I need an alignment too. So I probably will be heading that way. You should probably inform the Illinois, you know, Highway Patrol too.
I'm just going to call Brian and Kevin and say, listen, there's this guy coming over. He does the show with me. He needs tires and brakes. Don't listen to a word he says. It's all bullshit. Make sure you hang up the sign that says no shirt, no shoes, no service, you know, all that kind of stuff.
But he'll meander outside the house, outside of the building until you take that sign down.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff. But no, I'm sure they would appreciate meeting you. And again, to all of our listeners out there, they're the best in the area, folks. And for some of you, I know it may be a little bit of a drive, but I'm telling you, it'd be worth it. You guys would really enjoy it. So again, that's our friends at Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. Well, Kyle, I'm gonna let you get off here because I know you stayed extra today. I was unable to reach Mo's and Bruno today, so I'm assuming it's just going to be a show from you and I today, and the fans will love it. Hopefully my couple of fans out there that I've pissed off today, hopefully this show had some great content for them and they enjoyed it, and it was a non-bashing show. But you know, you can take the – see, I've got – I'm going to go with 50-50 on the trade. There's 50% chance it happens. So, see, I'm way more positive about it than you.
There you go.
You know.
And also, to your point, like, the one thing that we should probably end on this is it always seems like Nolan Arenado is Mr. Mazzellak and Mr. Gersh and even Mr. DeWitt, white whale. And if there is a player – and this probably expands like the chance of it happening, but it always felt like if there was a position player that they were willing to go way beyond their comfort zone for, it's Nolan Arenado. So that's where the intrigue and excitement is for me. And I can understand the 50-50 chance. I understand, like, it also helps paint the picture to your point about, like, this does feel like Matt Holliday a little bit. I just wonder if getting in season makes it happen as opposed to being in the off season, if that makes sense. Like, the pressure that comes with trading for Holliday at the deadline, if maybe you can get a couple months into the season and the offense is struggling and then you make a move for Arenado, if that makes it more likely. But again, that's a conversation for a different day.
And the thing is, I want to say this too, I think you just kind of touched on it. And for me, I think when an organization and you're like, well, what would make you believe that they're more comfortable stretching for a guy like an Arenado? Because I think there's some intangibles that we haven't even talked about, right?
Yeah.
Like, we bring him up at times, but boy, he really fills that superstar void, right? A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and let's be frank, you've never heard anything negative about him, right? Like, there's no, you know, we're not beating on anybody that we know of. We're not getting arrested. Yeah. We're not. Not no issues with fans. By all accounts, and whether you like this or not, he appears to be a poster boy, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. You know, our good friend Steve Flowers on the show is mentioned numerous times. What other jerseys do you see in the stands besides Yachty's right now? You don't see too many, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, guess what? It's almost over, you know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, you see as many Pujols jerseys as you see anybody else besides Yachty in the stands. So that may be a little stretch. There's some Wainwrights and stuff like that. But my point is, who's the next guy? Who is it? So they have to think about that too. And don't think they don't, because that where everybody wants to get on their ass a little bit about the business side, that is the business side. And I always said that I thought the Holiday thing was business because they knew the Pujols thing was coming, and if he was gone, they had to have somebody here that could replace him in that stature.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you don't need to look any further than the contract they gave Paul Goldschmidt when they gave Paul Goldschmidt that contract to know that they were itching and clawing for something that was perceived as a superstar.
Correct. They could fill that void. So, good stuff, Kyle. Get out of here. Hey, before you go, our listeners can follow you where?
You can follow me on Twitter at KYLER416. We do Prospects After Dark, usually on Sundays, sometimes on Saturdays, every once in a while on Fridays, sometimes any day of the week, usually about 8 o'clock Central Time. You can find that through Periscope and Twitter as well. And I write for Birds on the Black. I'm doing my Dirty 35 right now as we start talking about prospects here, ranking my top 35 prospects in the Cardinals organization. The first one of those will come out on the first game of spring training. So we're about a month away, a little over a month away from unveiling the Dirty 35. And I'm really excited about it, and I'm always privileged to be a part of this with you, Jim.
It's a privilege to be with you, sir. Make no mistake about it. I will say this. You're as knowledgeable as it comes when you're as knowledgeable as they come when it comes to doing this sort of thing, and we're very lucky to have you. So thank you so much, my friend. I will let the Pattersons know that you'll be calling them, and good luck with all that.
Yeah, thanks a lot, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, all right. The one, the only, Kyle Reese. And I do want to appreciate him for eating up the show today. As like I said, hopefully Mo and Bruno, we can get them back next week. I'll end with this. And people are probably like, I don't understand you, Jim. Like a few weeks ago, you sent out something that got everybody riled up when you were kind of making it sound like Nolan Arenado wouldn't be any good away from Coors Field. That's not what I was doing. What I was doing is I was making a point of how sometimes people want to use analytics and stats to promote an agenda. You know, so like if it was a player and you were to say, let's take the name off of it, and you were to say, man, I'm really interested in that guy. And if these people don't like him, the first thing they would throw at you is, well, you know, look at his stats away from where he plays, and becomes you're going to do. And it's like, I don't buy all that all the time. Now, I understand that you have to take into consideration, you have to use it and look at what you're getting. But he was a prime example of a guy that he's going to be in that camp like everybody is in Colorado. I mean, it's not going to be anything like Colorado anywhere else you go unless you go to a really small ballpark, right? And it's not even the home runs. It's the huge outfield that inflates the averages as well. So, you know, the bottom line for me is I don't need any analytics or stats to know that I love Nolan Arenado as a player. What will he be when he gets here? If he got here or wherever he goes, what will he be? I can tell you one thing that transcends from one park to the other, and that's defense. Doesn't matter where you play, okay? He's going to be a platinum gold glove winner here or anywhere, okay? I love the way he plays the game. I love the attitude. I love everything that he brings and everything that he appears to bring. I think he'll be a fine hitter. Listen, is he going to be as good a hitter here as he is when he plays at Coors Field? No, he's not. But nobody is. Okay? But he's going to be good enough. And I'm going to tell you, that good enough is plenty good for me and should be plenty good for the Cardinals. So I'm all in on Nolan Arenado. I'd be all in on Mookie Betts. I'd be all in on Francisco Lindor. Why? Because they would make us better. They would make us better. And would I think twice about the prospects and what they may do someday? I wouldn't even flinch. Would it piss me off if they traded Nolan Gorman and 5 years from now he's playing on a team and he's an all-star? Nope. I wouldn't look back at it and go, oh, man, that stinks. Because I got what I wanted. You know? I mean, that's how it works. And I would be fine with it. And again, I say it all the time. I just want to know who all these prospects are we've traded over the last 30 years that turned out to be superstars. You know? I'm good, man. Like with getting proven players. So anyway, that's it for me. Like I said, and again, you don't have to agree with me. That's fine. That's the best part of this whole thing. It's great. I love it. I will say, let's do it. I'm still at 50-50 because there's no way making a trade for a guy that makes $280 million is not an easy thing to do. I don't care who you are. It's not an easy thing to do. And yeah, guys that are smarter than us have a harder time trading away those prospects because the thing that we don't think about the number one thing we don't think about as fans when it comes to trading prospects is, it's easy for me to sit here and go, he may do this, he may not do this. But I can tell you the one thing that's guaranteed about that prospect is those first few years you have him, he ain't $35 million. And that comes back full circle to what we talked about at the very beginning of the show of the job that Mo has that we all, quite frankly, we don't think about because we don't care about it. And that is his job, and he has admitted as much publicly, number one job is to make money for the DeWitts. And we don't like that because we don't care about that. But we can we should understand it, and we should appreciate the fact that he's been able to do so while keeping us relevant. Maybe not relevant enough for all of us because it's World Series or bust, right? Obviously, it's World Series or bust. We made it to the Final Four this year, and plenty of people feel like we're as far away as we've ever been. So he's doing his job whether we like it or not, and that's a fact, hands down. And I applaud him for it because that is his job whether I like it or not. So good stuff. Can't thank all of our partners for making this show go. You guys have heard me mention it many times. Adam's Smokehouse, best barbecue in St. Louis, located on Watson Road, open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. Doesn't matter what you order over there. It's going to be top-notch. You guys are going to love it. They deliver to certain zip codes. They do big box lunch orders, and, of course, they cater if you need them to. All right, get over there. Check out that atmosphere. Say hi to Mike and all the gang when you get over to Watson Road location. Enjoy the smell when you walk in the door. It's going to make you wonder, am I ordering the right thing? Trust me, it doesn't matter what you order. You're going to love it. That's our good friends at Adam's Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. To Gators Baseball Academy, it's that time. I cannot tell you how much fun I've been having the last couple nights at our facility in Illinois, watching young kids get after it, eager to learn, an atmosphere where not only are they learning, but they're having fun and enjoying the game of baseball. Just really all the things that go with it. The athletic portion of it is what makes it fun for these kids. And that's why I'm happy to be associated with GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Check it out in Missouri and Illinois. You can find out all about their classes, training, everything that you can need for your son or daughter. Of course, DrChristianJacobs.com always wants to remind us to take care of our skin. Every day is Skin Cancer Awareness Day. Check out Ooh La La Spa Anti-Aging and Wellness Center. All the work that Dr. Christian Jacobs and her staff do there is tremendous. Do it for yourself, folks. That's who you should do anything you do for is yourself, and that's what she's there for, DrChristianJacobs.com. Of course, my good friend Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com makes the show go. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. That's the name you know and trust. As always, we come to you from the Patio Studios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. Check us out at TwoBirdsOnABat.com, where we'll ask you to subscribe to the show. It takes about 30 seconds, and it's free. Find us on social media, at BirdsOnABatShow. Love to have you guys be a part of our social media experience as well, whether you agree with us or disagree with us. Doesn't matter to me. But if you've come at me, I'm going to come at you. It's that simple. I think somebody found that out today. Instagram, Two Birds on a Bat Show. Facebook, always a big push for us. Type in Two Birds on a Bat Show. Like our Facebook page. Please click invite your friends if you don't mind and do so. But when you see the pin post, that's our show. If you guys could please like it, comment on it, and share it, that's how we bring more people into the conversation. It means a lot to us. LineupMediaGroup.fm, home of your radio streaming platform for your mobile device. Download it for free today. For all of us here at Bowties and Bullshit and Two Birds on a Bat, let's go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.